So this afternoon, I just want to share with you, because I felt like last week when we had these group discussions, you remember last week, and I didn't quite get through to really communicate to you guys two points that really God wanted me to put across to you, because we had a very little time left at the end. And I want to do that right now, because as we come to these meetings, as we come together, you know, as you came to do, I don't know what you were thinking. I don't know what you had in mind. I don't know what mindset or what view you had and how you approached this meeting. But God wants us to approach our meetings as if we're coming to a meeting with a person, you know, with Christ himself. It's him that we meet in our gatherings. Yes, you meet me. Yes, you see me. Yes, you greet me. Yes, we hug each other. We meet with each other. But the primary objective and person that we are meeting when we gather is the risen Christ himself. In all that we do, we are looking to meet with Christ. It is a meeting with a person that we are coming to as we gather together. And that's so important, to have this mindset, this approach, when we come to church, when we come to ourselves, when we come to a Christian gathering. We are coming to a gathering, but to a place where we meet the person of the risen Christ. That is so important, because that changes our whole value system. That is how it changes. And when we see it as a place where we meet this Christ who died for us, it becomes a different story. It becomes, okay, this is a place I value more than going somewhere else. This is a place that has greater significance and meaning in my life than going off to somewhere else. I'm not saying that we don't need to go off somewhere else, but we need to have our priorities right. And our priorities are actually determined by our values. What we value most is what we give the higher priority in our lives. So when we come to these meetings, when we gather together, friends, we need to see it as a gathering where we are meeting with God. It's not just a kind of a common gathering. It's not just like, you know, going down the pub for a drink. It's not just going out to have a meal with friends. It is the place that God has set for you and me to meet with him in community. It is the place where we have been privileged to encounter the risen Christ. For this reason, we need our approach to change. We need, you know, when we are coming, we need to come with that mindset. I'm coming to meet with Christ. This meeting that I'm coming to is going to make a difference, because I will encounter Christ in that place. And that's why he is here for, to meet each one of us, to encounter with us. That's what Jesus said when he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there among them. And this is so important that we kind of really, really register that, and make sure that we are coming with that mindset. It's a very important mindset. And not only for our group gatherings like this, not only when we come together in ourselves, but also when we come to God in our individual devotional times. You know, the rule of life that we have been talking about, that's the same mindset that we need to have. We need to understand that we're coming to meet a person, that there is a person at the other end. You know, it's not just routine discipline, routine exercises. We need to understand that there's a person we are meeting. It's a person, it's a meeting place that we are going to. When I go to my devotion early in the morning, when I come to God and when I come to pray and to read, it's not just about prayer as a routine and as a spiritual discipline. It's not just about reading a book, but it is a place where I meet God. I'm going there to meet with my God, with my Savior. And that's the attitude that we should be having. That's the approach and the mindset that God wants us to have when we come to him. And that changes, again, everything. That is, in modern language, I believe, what would be called a game changer, because we're not just exercising ourselves spiritually. We are actually going and meeting with a person. There is a person there at the end who meets and who's eager and who's longing to meet with each one of us, because he loves you, he loves me, he loves us. And that's what makes the difference, that makes us and drives us. When you get up in the morning, you want to go and meet with God who loves you and whose love you're slowly and gradually growing into. And I want to share with you a couple of verses from Psalms where this is like clearly depicted and clearly seen. So turn with me to Psalm 42 to start with, guys. Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is one of the Psalms that was written by a choir, a worship team. I don't know what we want to call them. They were known as the Sons of Korah, and Korah was a descendant of Levi, and they were priests, but they were known for they were kind of a choir that ministered in song and in praise in the temple at that time. And one of the things that you'll find about the sons of Korah as you read their psalms in the book of Psalms is this, guys. One of the things that you find is this. They were so intimate with God. I don't know how they achieved it on a group level, but their psalms are so deep. Honestly, they're so deep. And they talk about things that even other psalmists don't touch on. Psalm 42, verse 1 to 2. This is what it says. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? I'm going to read it one more time. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? It is a meeting with God. You know, not only were they hungry and they were expressing their hunger and thirst in this kind of picturesque way where they explain the deer, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you. Not only were they thirsty for God, but they understood and knew that their time with God was a meeting. So they say, when can I go to meet and meet with God? And that's what God wants us to approach our personal devotion time and our personal connect, daily connect with Him. He wants us to approach it like this. As a meeting with God. When can I go and meet with God was the question that they were asking. And it shows not only a longing to have, you know, to be in the house of God, a longing to be in a place where they're praising and they're worshiping and they're praying, but it shows a longing that beyond and through and over and above the worship and the praise and the reading of Scripture, there was a God there to be met. There was a God there to commune with. There was a God there who they knew who alone could satisfy and actually quench their thirst. And that is the thing that sometimes we also don't understand, or it takes us a while to understand, because only God can quench the inner thirst that we have inside us. And this is what God says in Isaiah 55. he says, come everyone who is thirsty. I love this because it's such a really warm welcome and invitation. He says, come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you, without money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. And he's saying here in verse 2, why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Why? Why is all your time, why is all your energy, why is all your effort being spent on stuff that does not satisfy, that does not get to the deepest person, to you? Many things that we spend our money and our time on, guys. Many things. Some of them are actually, maybe even many of them, are not even overtly sinful. Or not sinful at all. But we spend so much time and money on them when they don't have the ability to satisfy. Sport could be one of them. Social media is another. A Entertainment is another. And God is saying here, you know, why do you spend your money on that which does not satisfy when you can come to me? And these sons of Korah in Psalm 42 just knew that only God could satisfy. Only God could quench the human thirst. Every single person. Guys, only God can do that. And it shows how intimate they were with God. When can I go and meet with God was a question that they had in their hearts. And that's what God wants us to do, is that, you know, he wants us to see and view and approach and have the mindset of meeting with him when we approach our daily devotion. When we come to God. At the end of the day, the rule of life that we shared and we rolled out is just a framework, guys. It's just a framework to facilitate that meeting, to grow that relationship. It's nothing else by itself. It's nothing by itself. Reading scripture and praying of itself has no value. The value lies in the fact that it actually enables us to meet with a person. You have the right. You have the access. You have been given the privilege of sharing space and time with God through Jesus Christ. You have been given that. It is yours. Once you have made a decision for Christ, once you have decided and accepted him in your life, you have that privilege of sharing time and space, meeting with God on a one-to-one as well as in a group like this. The daily devotions, all they do is bring us to that person. They bring us to that person. And that's what their value is. Their value is in bringing us to commune with God, to meet with God. And that's what these people say. When can I go and meet with God? I would not be doing David justice if I did not quote one of his psalms as well. Let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. And I just want to encourage all of you to just keep with me. Let's just keep our focus. Psalm 63, verse 1. Again, a brilliant psalm. This is what David said. This is a psalm of David. And he says this. He says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." I'm going to read it again. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." These are expressions and utterances of a person who is in an intimate and living relationship with God. Right at the start, David says, "You, God," he says, "You, God, are my God." There's a personalization here. He says, "My God." And that's where we personalize God more than any other place in our lives, is in our personal connections with God, in our daily devotions with God. That's where you personalize him. You will never personalize him anywhere else unless you do it there. That's the other value of these daily devotions and connects with God, is where we personalize our relationship with God. He's not just any God. David said, "You, God," he said, "are my God." You're not just any God. You are my God. And it takes us personalizing God for ourselves, because we have taken that step and we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. But we still remain kind of distant. We still remain kind of disconnected from him. We still kind of are, you know, God is some distant person. Yeah, God is there somewhat, but he's distant. He's not distant by his own making. He's distant by our own making. God has come as close as he can. He cannot come any closer. It's just not possible. He's gone into our skin, literally. Incarnation means God in the flesh. He's come into our skin. There's nothing more he can do. And David, remarkable as it is that he does this in the Old Testament, even without Christ, he experiences God in an intimate way and says, God, you, God, he says, are my God. God wants you to know him personally, to know him intimately, to know him closely, guys. God doesn't want to remain distant in your life. It's not his agenda. By long stretch, no, it's not his agenda. His agenda is to be your God, like he was to David. His agenda is for you to have a personal knowledge and relationship with him. That's what these daily devotions do, is like, we have a platform to personalize God, guys. To personalize God. There's a cost to it, yes. But it's worth it. David made and declared God as his own. I want us to understand that these daily devotions of, you know, coming to God in prayer and worship and scripture reading, you know, are not just drab and dreary repeated exercises, but these are live meetings with a living God, guys. And when I say live meetings, I use the word live in the sense that you guys use it. When you think of something is cool, something is good, something is great, you say it's live, don't you? This is live, guys. There's nothing more live than this. This is a live meeting with a living God. You can't get any liver than that. And imagine, David had it in the Old Testament. It's a huge privilege that has been afforded to us by Christ. And I want to encourage you. You know, David says, I thirst for you like the sons of Korah. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. David personalized God. This is the place where you personalize God. Where you cannot personalize God through your daily devotion, you will never really have a personal knowledge of God. You'll struggle with that. And as I said, it is something that is, you know, it comes at a cost. And David personalized God, and he said, you, God, are my God. God becomes your God when you make the effort to personalize him. He has done, as I said, there's nothing more God can do. But he has done all that he can by coming into our nature, into humanity. And I want to encourage you, because this is where you need to come out of depending on others for your relationship with God. You just need to come out of that. And where you start to own that relationship, guys. You need to own that relationship. Make it your own. Don't make it depend on others. Don't make it depend on church. Don't make it depend on pastors. God never intended it and designed it to be that way. He wants you to own your relationship with him. He wants you, like David, to call him, like David said, you, God, he said, are my God. David was so confident that God was his God. That's the kind of confidence that God wants you to have. Let's pray. Just want to especially challenge some of us as we pray this afternoon, guys. First thing I want to say is, like, you know, it says, why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? You know, what is it that you're spending so much time, so much effort, so much money and investing in it that does not satisfy, that has no value in satisfying your soul, that just simply doesn't get anywhere near to giving us the satisfaction? Why is God's question to the Israelites through Isaiah, and it is to us today. God is inviting us to come Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. You without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And just like the sons of Korah said, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, because He alone is able to satisfy our souls, guys. What is it that you're spending your time, your energy, your effort, your money, all that you have? And the greatest of those, my friends, the greatest of those, the most valuable of those things which I listed is not your money, it's your time. It's your time. God is saying, why do you spend it on things that does not, that do not satisfy? Just look at yourself and see, where is it that you're spending your most time? Where does your, you know, time get spent? God is calling us back to Him, saying, come. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. Lord, we want to thank You this afternoon that You call us and invite us, Father God, to the place where we find satisfaction. You invite us to Yourself, Father God. Lord, we want to pray this afternoon for those who are standing and for those who could not muster the courage to stand as well. Lord, I pray this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, that Your Spirit would just bring that conviction to every single one of us who need to have that conviction, Father God, to depart, Father God, from those things which we are spending our time and our money and our energy on that do not bring satisfaction. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those who are standing that You would just empower them, Father God, that they would make this a point where they depart from those things that they are spending their time, their money, their effort, their energy on, knowing that they have no value in fulfilling their deepest needs. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, help them to come to You regularly, to come to You all the time, to just approach that throne of grace, Father, to come to that table from where they can feed and find satisfaction. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, may Your hand be upon them as they continue, Father God, to connect with You daily, and that they would grow in their personal knowledge and connection with You. Father, I pray for them, committing them into Your hands, and knowing that Your word is true, Father God, that You invite them to bring satisfaction and fulfillment in their lives. And as we're just going to pray for one more point, guys, I want to encourage people to make God your own God, to personalize Him. I want to encourage you to keep going on if you are already there, or if you're not, to get in there and get stuck in with the rule of life for your own good, to get stuck in with a daily connection with God, friends, for your own good, to personalize God, to make God your own, to stop making God a distant God when Christianity is about a relationship. It's about a relationship. It's not about a tradition. It's not a religion. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship. Christ died for a relationship, not for a religion. And I want to encourage you, because it's in your own hands. Now you need to own that relationship. You need to own Christ. You need to own God for yourself. Personalize Him, friends. Personalize Him, and you do that by getting stuck into this daily devotion with Him. You, God, are my God, is what David said. Lord, we want to thank You because You have made Yourself available for each one of us. Lord, You have opened the door. You have given us access to an intimate and close relationship with You. Father God, we want to thank You for this great privilege that You have given us, this access that You have given us in Christ. And Lord, I pray right now for those who are standing especially, that You would just enabled and empowered them, Father God, to continue and to get stuck into a daily connection with you, Father God. Lord, I pray for your hand to be upon them, your special hand of assistance and of power be upon them, Father God, to get stuck into this rhythm, into this routine, where they personalize you, where they make you their own. Father, I know that this is your desire. This is your heart's desire for each person. And I pray in Jesus' name that every person in this room would get onto that routine and rhythm, Father God, of making you their personal God, of making you their own God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your word and your spirit would just work in their lives to draw them closer to you. Lord, I commit them into your hands and thank you so much because you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We praise your name and we lift you up, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.